I can't help
but let my mind wander or get carried away sometimes on the music. As he was saying there, I'm desperate for you. My mind went to the fish. Most of you have been fishing, if not you had a goldfish or something. Did you ever notice what happens when you take them out of the water?
Yeah.
They happen. They're desperate, trying to get back to that water. Think of how we would be if we were desperate for Christ. If we lost him and were desperate for him, what would we be doing? We'd be frailing and running around and just desperately seeking him. And that is what he is trying to get us to understand in his word. We should be desperately seeking him at all times. Because we would be lost without him. We would be lost without him. We get up some mornings and in a hurry and just go through our routine, getting our shoes, shirt, and everything, and getting out the door and getting in our car and driving away, and we don't stop to think. We didn't say, thank you, Jesus. We didn't say, thank you for waking us up this morning. You know, we need to acknowledge him in every form of our lives, because he's there, and we would be lost without him. There is nothing that you do daily that he is not involved in, and he is concerned about every facet of your life.
Amen.
That is the God that you serve, and that's the God that is watching over you. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you daily. So we should acknowledge him. We should thank him for the things that we get and for the things that he does. Because he is the air that we breathe.
Oh, amen.
And he is our daily bread.
Amen.
He's our daily bread.
Yes, he is.
Sometimes we go on a fast. We go on a fast. And when we're on that fast, it seems like we want everything. You think of all the good things that you need in your life. Because you're hungry for it, because you are depriving yourself of
it. Amen.
You wouldn't have thought of that rare steak if you hadn't been fasted. It's amazing how our minds take us to the places that we long to be. And when we get in trouble, where do our mind take us? Oh, Lord. Jesus is there for us. But this has nothing to do with what I want to talk about today. So let me, I was just thinking about the music. I want to read to you this morning and be talking to you out of the book of Matthew in chapter 16. I would begin my reading at verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Ooh, hallelujah.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Hallelujah.
And this is for us. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verse 21 says, and from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from you, Lord, this shall not be unto you. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things of the God, but the things of man. Jesus saw that he must suffer in order to reach the place or the spiritual life that God intended for him to reach. So he said to his disciples, I must go into Jerusalem, and there I'll be arrested, abused, and killed. But on the third day, I'll rise again.
Amen.
Now, Peter liked Jesus. Peter liked having Jesus around. Things were simpler with Jesus around because Jesus handled everything. And he always had some excitement going on. So Peter, hearing this, called Jesus and pulled him to the side and said, No, we don't let this happen to you. We can't let this happen to you. We'll fight. We won't let this take place. You see, Peter was being selfish. Peter had a good spot. He had a good spot. And he didn't want it to end. So he was selfish. He decided that he would rather have Jesus with him than to let Jesus go and do what Jesus wanted to do. He didn't understand Jesus' purpose. And Jesus' purpose was to go and be killed for the world so that the world could feel what Peter felt. So he said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. Now he wasn't calling Peter Satan. He was speaking to what was driving Peter.
Amen.
He was speaking to what was driving Peter. The powers and principalities. If you want to save yourself, you are an offense to Jesus. And if you desire or seek favor from man, or if you're trying to find gain in the world, then you will lose favor with God because you have no faith. You have no faith. And where can we find a place where we can have God's mind and God's will? We have to get along with God. We have to get along with God. That is the only place that you can find it. Just you and Him. Because if you look for it anywhere else, you're never going to find it. You're never going to find it. And if you only want to save yourself, you will never be able to bind or loose.
That's right.
You'll never be able to bind or loose. Because you won't have the support of Jesus. You won't be in the sphere with God. You see, when you are alone with God, you can get the mindset of God because He will speak to you.
Amen.
He will speak to you. But you have to be quiet. You see, we live in a noisy world. We're always thinking about what we got to do next.
Amen.
We're always thinking about what's going on in the world. So our world is noisy. And it seeps over into our spiritual world to where God speaks to us, but we don't hear it. So when we get along with God and dedicate that time with Him, just Him and you,
yes.
speaking and talking, you speaking and then being quiet so that you can hear from Him, He will guide you and direct your path. And then that way, then you will have that power to bind and to loose because you will be operating in the power of God.
Amen.
I'm talking about being at one with God. And sometimes when you say that, you will offend people who don't believe in God. You can't be one with God. Only God is God. But when it is said, you and God in agreement, God gives you power of attorney over His Word. So
Amen.
Therefore you can speak the word of God with authority and with excitement.
Yes.
And the excitement comes because of you knowing that when you speak the word of God, that you can have whatever you say.
Amen.
And what you say will come to pass.
Yes.
This is a relationship with God.
Amen.
And this is what we seek. You see, when we operate in the will of God, then we are called the children of God.
Amen.
We are the children of God.
Yes, we are.
1 John 4:4 says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Yes.
But for our purpose, and I left some of that out, so I'm going to go back and say what the entire verse said, because I shouldn't have shortcut it, because it goes with what we're talking about here. It says, in the beginning, that God is in you, little children. The God in you, little children, is because you've overcome. And then he says, greater is he that is in you. You see, God being in you gives you the power to overcome anything that's in the world. That is what he's talking about. So great is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So therefore you have authority over the world.
Amen.
And if we look back to the beginning, it says that God created man in his image and in his likeness, and then he gave him dominion over the world. So you see, you had it all along, but we don't use it because we don't know where we stand with Christ.
Yes, yes.
When we figure out where we stand with Christ, then we can operate in Christ.
Yes, yes.
So we have to, again, get that a long time with Christ.
Yes.
So if you're trying to save only yourself, you're going to be an offense to God. You are an offense to God. And finding favor with man won't get you any place.
That's right.
And having wealth and power in this world, it's that you here, but not in the kingdom.
That's right.
So again, you lose favor with God when you seek those things. Because it says that man can only serve one God.
Yes.
You can only serve one master.
Yes.
You will either hate the one and love the other, or vice versa. But you have to choose. You have to choose. You see, that time that you spend with God gives you the time that you need. Because every day, you choose or reject. You choose or refuse. That's your life. Every day, you choose or refuse. And that is a companionship with God that nobody knows about. Nobody knows about. Only you and God is involved in that. So you have the authority over you. You get to choose what you do. And when you choose to operate with God, then you have that power to bind on earth, and you have that power to loose on earth. You have that power. And think about it. Think about it. If you have sin in your life, then you can't bind or loose. You can't bind or loose if you have any sin in your life. You see, there is not a person who can deal with the sin of somebody else if he's not free himself.
All right.
Think about it. If you're not free yourself, you can't deal with anybody else's. I'm tied to a post, and you tied to the post in front of me. I can't lose you, because I'm tied up. You can't lose me, because you're tied up. So we're just there, tied, looking at each other, helpless. But we have to understand a purpose. God's purpose was to save the world. And that is the purpose that we have to have. We can't think of ourselves only. If what we get into gets us in trouble with the world, then we are doing a good thing.
Amen.
We are on the right track.
Yes.
Well, he who is a friend of the world is an enemy to God.
Right.
So when we get on the bad side of man, we are in a good place because we're doing something right. And this is what we have to look at. Because think of Jesus. Think of Jesus. He didn't have what we would call a regular life. He was separated from his family and from his friends because this is a holy war.
Amen.
And he wants us to be separated unto him so that we can operate in his sphere.
Amen.
Go into all the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is the mandate that he left for us. And how can we do that if we don't have the gospel, I said? So I'm saying that self-evaluation is always important, to go into that quiet place. Go into that place where there's only you and Jesus, and you talk to him and he talks to you, and figure out where you are in the grand scheme of things.
Amen.
And then when you come out of that, you are to share the word of God. That's all he asked us to do. He gave his life so that we wouldn't have to.
Amen.
God is good, and he's good all the time.
Yes,
you know, that's a cliche, I guess you'd say. But it is a truth. It is a truth. God is always good. There is never, ever a bad time with God. God doesn't have bad days. He doesn't have bad days. Every day he gets up in love with you. And you've been, I don't know what you've been, but whatever you've been, God overlooks that because he's not looking at you. He's looking at what caused you to be who you are. I'm sorry, I got that backwards even. He's looking at the cause, not at you. He's not looking at you for the crime or the sin. He's looking at the cause of the sin. And that's what he's trying to tell us when he says that we are to love one another as he loves us. We don't look at the person for the offense. We look at what caused the offense. That is what we look at. Because as Peter was operating, he was operating in the devil's spirit. God said, get behind me, Satan. But he was speaking to what was driving Peter. Powers and principalities. Peter wouldn't have said that if he knew what Jesus was up to. And we find in the end, Peter truly had sympathy for Jesus. He was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And he had sympathy for Jesus. He didn't want him to die. He didn't. But he said what he said because that was a perfectly natural expression for a person who was concerned about another person.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus said, get behind me. Jesus said, get behind me. Human sympathy couldn't turn Jesus from his course.
Amen.
So what he's telling us that we need to stay on that narrow way. Stay on that narrow way. And we have to learn how to say, get behind me, Satan.
Amen.
We have to learn how to say, get behind me. That is to maintain our humanity.
Yes.
Stay on that narrow way. Remember what he said in Matthew 7, 13. He said that wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that enter therein. So you see, we have to stay on that narrow way in order to please Jesus. And we have to learn how to say, get thee behind me, Satan.
Amen.
So when you are a child of God, you have the power. You have the power over all sin.
Hallelujah.
When you are a child of God, you have the power over all sin. So it comes to that point to where you have to choose or refuse. Because in you is life and death. In you is right and wrong. And you will understand and know when the wrong is being committed. Have you ever stopped to think about that? When you do something wrong, why is it that you right away recognize it?
Conviction.
You begin, oh man, I should. Oh, you mean, you recognize because that is the God in you that is telling you that you're off the path.
Amen.
You're getting off the path. And therefore, repentance has been provided for you.
Amen.
You can say, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And he said, be quick to repent.
Yes.
Be quick to repent.
Yes.
God is on your side. God is looking out for you at all times.
Yes.
Waiting for you to make the right decision. So that he can look over at the Father and say, see, I told you he was in there.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And then when you do bad, he has to kind of look at that. But I paid for that already. I paid for that. So give him a chance. He'll come on.
Amen.
He'll come on. That is the God we serve.
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, when we read the scripture and embody it and put it in contrast to where we are, we can always know where we stand in the grand scheme of things.
Yes.
And no one should be able to tell you that there is no God because of the visions that you have, the sight that you have. Why did the sun come up? Why does the moon come up? Why the wind blow? Why does it rain? We know that there is a God because there's always something greater than us. And for most of us, we have seen his hand at work.
Yes.
We have seen his hand at work. So when we look back on where we come from to where we are today, then we are convinced that God is present and that God is in our lives.
Amen.
And God said that he would never leave nor forsake us. So we have to be careful not to walk away from him.
Amen.
Because as long as he's with us, then he is our protector, our survivor,
yes,
our provider. We don't have any problems. All we have is faith in God.
Amen.
See, and if we don't give ourselves to him wholly, then we won't have the faith. We won't have the faith. And you know what the scripture said? The scripture says that without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Amen. Amen.
So you see, we must give ourselves to him wholly so that we can have the faith, and then we can have the power to bind and to loose.
Amen.
And we want to make that impression. We want to get that impression in our mind that we have the power to bind and to loose. He said, I will give you the key to heaven that you may have the power to loose things on earth, and then I will loose them in heaven. And to bind things on earth, and then I will bind them in heaven. So he's saying that you have the authority to stop and start, to bind things on heaven and to loose things so that they give up. So when you have these heavy burdens and you want to get out from under them, you want to bind them. And when you want the joy and to move forward, you want to loose.
Amen.
Amen.
And you have that power. I'm trying to get to Proverbs 8, where it says that death and life is in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
So that when we get the Spirit of God in us, when we feel the necessity to cry out to God, then what we say, we expect to take place because he has given us the power to loose and to bind.
Amen.
But we must believe. We must believe. Without that belief, it's not possible. All things are possible to him who believes.
Amen.
So you see, we have to be the catalyst. We have to be the capital. We have to send things out.
Amen.
To make them work. Jesus left us one commission when he left this earth. And all four Gospels talk about it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all speak about it. But I like Matthew. Matthew, Mark's. Mark's verse is the best. Mark's translation. And Mark says that go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature.
Yes.
And to those that believe and are baptized, they shall be saved. But those who don't believe shall be damned.
Amen.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. You see what he's saying? In my name, he shall cast out devils. In the name of Jesus, you will buy. In the name of Jesus, you will lose. But it has to be in his name, and it has to be through his power, not your power.
Amen.
Those who believe, these signs shall follow them. We're saying something this morning. If we would embody it, we are saying something this morning. We're saying that wherever we've been and whatever we've been doing, that we can take control over our lives.
Yes.
We can take control over our lives. The things that are going on in our lives that we don't lack, we don't have to stay with it.
That's right.
And the things that we want to do in the future, we can get on with it.
Yes.
We can take control of our lives because this now is the time that we have authority over. Right now is what you have authority over. Yesterday is gone. You can't fix it. It's done. But ain't no sense in even looking back. I really have a heart for the people who are living in the past. Oh, they done that and this. That ain't nothing you can do about it no more. I mean, it's done with. What you do is look for a better deal.
Amen.
Because you can handle that. And the future, you have no control over it. You live today as if you had 100 years, but tomorrow is not promised.
Yes.
So you see how important right now is? Right now is what you have control of. Right now is what you can operate in. And you can plan again for 100 years. But you will definitely be ready for tomorrow if you got your head that set on planning, you will definitely be ready for tomorrow. Yesterday you can't do nothing with. You got today and you can be ready for tomorrow. Now if you don't make it, well, you didn't make it, but she was ready. Everything was in order. This is how you operate in the faith that God has given. He's given us this ability and this faith, and this is what he asked us to do. To go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
To every creature. I'm saying that we, as Christians who believe in Jesus Christ and know that he is there for us and know that he has provided a way for us, we should always have some encouraging word for the people that we come in contact with. It doesn't matter what they're going through. It doesn't matter what they're saying. You have an encouraging word. They're hurting. They're broke. They're torn. But you step up and just tell them, not I feel your pain, because you don't feel their pain. None of us know what the next person is going through. Their outward appearance is all the thing that we can accept them on. We don't have to worry about what's in their heart or what they're thinking.
Right.
We take them at face value and we operate with that.
Amen.
Until they show us something different.
Amen.
When they show us something different, then we have a something to go on, something to gauge our activity or our interaction with them on. But up until that time, they're just another child of God or another creation of God. And you treat them with respect.
Amen.
How are you doing today? And God bless you when I leave.
Amen. Amen.
And those are really some cute shoes you got on. Well, guys, you can't say that to guys. But you need something to say to a person to lift them up. That may be all they need. And when you've done that, you've preached the gospel.
Hallelujah.
You've preached the gospel. Beautiful are the feet that brings glad tidings and shares the good news.
Amen.
That's what we ought to do. So being Christian, we have to do our part. God has already done His and put everything in place. So if we want to be what God wants us to be, then we have to do what He wants us to do.
Yes.
So follow Christ with all your heart and listen to what Mark said. Mark says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And those that believe will be saved.
Hallelujah.
But those who don't believe, they will be damned. But those who believe, these signs shall follow them. They have the ability to cast out devils in His name.
Amen.
So if the devil is chasing you, if the devil is beating on you, you have the power to cast him out.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Jesus loves you and thinks enough in you to give you the key to heaven.
Amen.
And that is the power to bind and to loose. So use that power and make yourself whole so that you will be a blessing to someone. That is the will of God for you, that you might be happy, that you might be prosperous, and that you might be fruitful. That is the will of God. Amen?
Amen.